Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining another episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with authors Dicey Brenner and
Chantal Renee.
Chantal Renee. So we are here, and we are queer. I'm kidding. But anyway, I was on a roll. It was rhyming. So so we broke our normal pattern. We usually record on Tuesday nights. And now we are going to do a recording on Saturday morning because I watched The Nun on Thursday night. Chantel watched it Friday night and it's Saturday morning. And we want to talk about it right away because I thought it was just that good. What about you?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really a good addition to the Conjuring universe, as they like to call it.
Yes. So it's interesting that you're so well lit up because you're right in front of a window for such a dark movie. Like, this movie was so dark, like in terms of visuals, it was so dark.
It was. I think that was part of the atmosphere of a movie. I think creates a lot for it. And that was definitely an aspect that I felt added a lot of the creepiness like the ambiance.
Yes.
The darkness, and it needed it.
Yes.
For the subject.
It was very, I thought it was perfect for that. In fact, I don't know whether it's because I had just went to see the movie or whatever, but I started getting a lot of information about the movie in my feed as soon as I got back. And so I read that was truly filmed in a creepy abandoned church in France.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, you know what? That's amazing, because it did, like, I felt the creepiness, like, off the mm-hmm. screen. Like, it really was an abandoned church. So, you know, that might be a great place to go do a haunt.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I worked at the Wild Collection here in Houston before it was unfortunately a victim of arson, we had a statue, a wooden statue that was, oh gosh, I want to say early 1800s, from the early 1800s, and it was carved, religious statue. And anytime you're around things that had a reverence to it when it was being created, you just get that vibe off the object. You know, there's something emanating from it, something that's just, you know, it's that faith that they've put into it, that desire, that desperation. You know, one of the things I feel like, and we're totally jumping right into the heaviness here, I am, one of the things that I feel like especially this movie brings out or brought out was people, you know, they're trying to keep themselves from going down the wrong path, right? And, you know, the characters, the nun, oh, I can't remember her name, the one from the first one, the main character, and then she had a younger nun with her. Yeah. Kind of in the beginning, they touched on that, right? Like, she was like, well, I'm just here because my family put me here, basically.
And
yes. And she wasn't, I don't see either of those characters trying to stay away from the wrong path necessarily, but more and more people nowadays are always trying to use religion as, you know, save me, please save me for myself. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think because we have that concept in our mind when we see or read or experience anything like this movie, it takes us to a different level.
Mm, okay. You know, when I watched the first one, and I really don't like the fact that we have to wait 5 years between them. That's 2018 to 2023. So it's like, I don't even remember, you know, all the details of the first one. But, you know, okay, I can always go back and watch it. But I remember when I was watching the 2018 version, I was like, I feel something here. Like, it was inspiring thoughts and everything. Like, I was going down that path. I even wrote a Demon and the Nun horror story.
Nice.
So I was inspired by it, but I felt like there was a lot that was missing. I remember, like, I don't remember the details of the movie, but I remember what I left with, what I felt, you know, and that's what I carried with me. And so I wanted to delve. I felt like this one delved more into all the things that I felt was missing in the first one. Like, I did not leave with a feeling of something was missing. I felt like they put it all on the table. Like, I got everything this time. What to me stood out the most when I was like, they upped the ante, is because at one point, what I really loved about this is the suspense. You know, we're talking about the darkness. So there's plenty of times where, like, you're sitting there and it's so dark, but then you start seeing the nun kind of materialize out of the darkness. Oh, that was brilliant. But then when I felt that, it's like it kind of got remote. Like, okay, all right, how many times is she just going to start materializing? But then we get two more villains going on at the same time. And I was like, yes, yes. So we got all of this happening at the same time. And so I feel my pulse, you know, I can feel getting excited about it, because we're not just worrying about the nun now. We're worrying about this other entity and this other thing, you know, and they're all working in tandem, but still it's the tension was increased. And I thought that was brilliant the way they did that. Because if it was just her this time, I think I would have been completely bored.
Well, I took it as it was the same demon doing all the different things. But manifesting several different ways to freak out everybody. And it was feeding off that energy, right?
Yeah.
So the use of the insects was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was something, you know, in the beginning you thought it was a silly prank. And then I get excited. I already see the big Easter egg for the next movie, by the way. But anyway, I get excited when they surprise me a little bit with what they plant, right? So we see the bugs in the beginning, it's a prank. And then later when we see them again, you're like, oh, they're using it in a way that is pulling the guilt out of the girls, right? Mm-hmm. Because of what they did to this other female with these bugs.
And that would be a fourth one, I suppose. That was a fourth entity being used at that time too.
Yeah. So it was really, to me, smarter than they've done in a while. I don't know who the director was in this for this one. I don't know.
The director was Michael Chavez, or Chaves, however you pronounce that. Chaves. That was the director.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did he do it for the 2018 as well?
2018 was Corin Hardy. So we had a different director.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the vision, I think also, I mean, the magazine rack thing was kind of, that was a little too meh. But I understood by the end of it why they needed these visions. I don't know if you caught on to that.
Yeah, that was her tying in her, why she was so important. And I won't.
Right.
I'll go into that. Maybe. Okay. Spoiler alert. You know, some of the things we're going to have to spoil, but I'll leave that big one for you to see.
Well, I will say that it ties into the very end. There is an after, before the main credits, there's an after scene.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bring us into present time, but it brings us into the universe we're used to seeing with Ed and Lorraine.
Yeah, that's what I text you about. Like, don't forget there is a post-credit scene.
Yeah, and it was good.
Yeah, most people in my theater had already left by that point. And I was like, I'm still in this world and I don't want to leave. And so I stayed, and there was a conjuring scene.
Yes. And now what happened in this, the big thing that we discover about this nun, you know, not the evil nun, but the good nun, ties into the next movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And did you know, by the way, and I don't know their names, the main actress, they're sisters.
Yes, Farmiga, I think, or mm-hmm. Farmiga, however you pronounce her last name. Yeah, that's her sister. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, that was really intelligent how they've done all this.
Ah.
It's going to be really good.
You see the big picture.
Yeah.
And you know what? In The Conjuring, number 6, I think, was the last one that was out. I did not enjoy it as much. I cannot say it was one of my favorite ones at all. But I'm glad that they're still doing them, because I even like our episodes. Like, everything doesn't have to be a knockout. Everything doesn't have to be super A. Some of it can be a little less exciting than the previous one. You know, that's okay. But there's still so much potential there. And they have all those toys. They can, you know, not just Annabelle. We can go to some of that other stuff that's locked in those drawers. Like, they can do those from now until the time I die. You know, they can just continue to be putting those out. I would prefer that they don't change the main actors, you know. So hopefully those actors are around. But yeah, they can go into so many different creepy stuff that's in that. In that toy,
and I think that was their intention, right? To kind of make a Marvel universe out of horror. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, I really enjoy what they've done so far, and with this particular movie, this entity, this demon, I like that in this movie they did say, well, remember, this used to be an angel,
right?
And I think a lot of people, when we see horror movies, we tend to not think about that, right? We tend to think, oh, it's an evil entity. But it didn't start off that way. It's an angry entity.
Yes. This is the villain's origin story. I'm going through an origin story right now. There's a lot of things that's happening. And I was like, I can see how people, you know, yeah, you can rise above, or you can get down in the gutter like, I'm sick of this shit, and fight back. Or, you know, so this demon wants certain things because she feels jilted, or she or he. I mean, I don't know what there's this demon feels. And I always think about that also. There's a lot of things, you know, since I have a religious background, that when I know about some of these stories, that now I see the opposite of it. Like, hold up. Like, why are we mad with the brothers that didn't like Joseph? Like, why was God showing favoritism to Joseph? You know, like, perhaps that was the problem. Like, why are we focusing on the result? The chaos came from the favoritism. Like, that wasn't right how he was treated. You know, perhaps. I'm just using that as an example. But yeah, this demon feels like they need to be vindicated. Like, they need, they want retribution. And I
like that it had a goal. In a lot of these movies about demonic energy, we get a lot of, it's just to be blasphemy to God. It's just to make God, you know, angry. It's just to get God to, you know. And this one, it's like, no. I'm going after something that's going to give me something back God took from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah.
These movies are rated R. And what I also, you know, I love creative kills. We talk about that a lot in these movies. I love the creative kills, but I didn't see so much of that in this. You know, there's a bloodbath at the end, but there's not a whole lot of, like, we don't see Art going around chopping. It's more in the transformations, the fear that these demonic transformations are conveying, and that is scary.
Well, they did do some kills, though. They did have the altar boy kill, which was good.
Did you think it was like extremely violent, though? Like, I didn't see that.
I mean, I think they were going with, you know, the point was it was her dead kid doing it, and then the other one was, I think, just the tragedy of the youth being murdered, you know, that witnessed what was happening with the handyman.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't see it as, like, when I think of rated R, I'm thinking it's going to be like a complete gore fest. And that's not what I got. But I understand why it was rated R, because of the demonic transformations and stuff.
Yeah,
like I can see how that could scare the shit out of somebody, and they want to make stories. Like my kids, you know, I take my kids to horror films. I didn't take them to this one. I just went by myself.
Well, let me tell you, I feel like our society, especially even in our horror community, and I say that because we're really kind of become more a part of it over the last few years with Houston Horror Film Fest around. I really see that most people, I would say 80%, and that's a high percentage, get afraid of this type of horror. Anything religious horror, they don't like because it freaks them out. Yeah. Or they love it and they're like, yes, that's really creepy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even like I was speaking to Jay Mazur last night after the movie, and her son, and he's 11. Okay. So he's like your kids, right? Grew up watching horror. He loves Freddy. He loves Jason. He loves, you know, Michael Myers. He loves all the slasher, all the gore, all that stuff. He sees one preview for this movie and he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, that's how mine were. Like they were like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. When we saw the trailer
for it when we were watching the last film, they were like, nah, that's all right. You got that one.
And I think Jay made a point because, you know, there are real records of exorcisms. There are actual
real story.
Yeah, these and so the fact that we're looking at this point is it's not improbable. I mean, some of the stuff was obviously, you know, we're not going to see the demon floating in the air, you know, all that sort of thing, maybe. But some of it, you know, is probable. And, you know, I watch a lot of the ghost hunting shows. And one of the things that I always see over and over again whenever there's a demon presence, and I'm doing quotation marks when I say that, guys. If you're watching the video, you're seeing me. Anyway, so when there's a demon presence, many things will happen. Like they'll see kids. They'll smell things. They'll see multiple things or multiple entities will be just like this. All these things. Because it's a manifestation, it's an infestation is what they call this in the realm, because I did all the research for my book. So in the realm of demonology, it is an infestation of this entity, and it is sucking up and utilizing any kind of ideas or concepts that are hurting. So that is, you know, to me, one of the things that makes this genre continue to work, no matter what. You know, it's just going to be good. And even the last movie, which in 2018, I didn't think it was amazing, but it was still good. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, that was still good. This one outblew it, I felt like. This one was better.
Oh, for sure. And what did you, okay. You know, we had a chance to see Bonnie Ahrens at Texas Frightmare. Was it Texas Frightmare?
Yeah, it was.
We saw her at Texas Frightmare earlier this year.
And this is the lady who plays the nun.
Yes, she's the one that plays the nun. She's got this very distinct nose. I heard mixed stories on her. Like some people was like, oh, she's so nice. And then other people were like, oh, she is bitchy. But I heard that she is suing Warner Brothers, I believe, for using her image to sell items. And she's not getting anything from it. So I'm going to watch that case to see what happens with that. I'm just curious about what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm on that. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different lawsuits going from the actors and, you know, with the strikes that's going on. So it'd be interesting to see how that plays out.
I mean, we did witness her being a little bit crazy pants, but I think she had been drinking when we saw her doing that.
Yeah. And you know what? I also think that, you know, there's a cultural thing there, too, because like I was hanging out with this Russian lady last weekend, and she She brings on a type of boldness and directness and in your face that we don't see all the time. But I mean, I was like, hey, I'm with it. I'm vibing with it. Yeah, girl. But I'm just saying that culturally speaking, like there's things that she would do that I know that other people wouldn't do if we were all hanging out together. So I was thinking that Bonnie probably got a bad rap because they just weren't used to seeing a woman just, you know, just giving all that, you know, maybe just a theory. Yeah.
No, I mean, I could see that. And she wasn't necessarily on, she was hanging out after hours. So, you know, I think she had been drinking and I don't think she, you know, when I think back on it, I don't think she was trying to necessarily be aggressive or angry. I just think, like you said, it was her boldness.
Yeah. Boldness.
And you know what? Good for her because Hollywood will eat you up.
Right. Yeah.
We already know it's going to take advantage if it can.
And I gotta tell you, one of the things is this Russian lady that I was with last week. It may be abrasive if you're in a quiet place where it's just a few people and you're confined into a room. But if you are traveling and you're out, you need that boldness. You know what I mean? Like there is, you gotta take the good with the bad. Like when you're out and there's some things that's happening, you don't want somebody that you got to drag by the hand and we're going to do this, we're going to do this. You need somebody that's on it. And so, you know, Bonnie would probably be someone that would really be a blast to travel with or something like that, you know.
Indeed. One thing I don't want anybody to think is that we ever, ever, ever try to dampen a female's power on our show.
Absolutely. In fact, to tell you a good story that I heard about her. Okay. So this is someone had gotten an autographed poster for her. And you know, that stuff is not cheap at these events. They wait in line forever. They pay. And then they have their few minutes to get the autograph and they talk to them. Well, they did all that. And then they ended up checking out of their room and they realized that they left their poster in the room. And then when they went back, it was balled up. It was in the trash out in the hallway, in the dumpster or whatever. It was destroyed. Like whoever it was had great issues with this. It wasn't just folded up. It wasn't just put away. It was like destroyed. Like whoever the house was or whatever was like, no, like they did not appreciate this poster at all. And you know, everything that they had to go through to get this poster, they went through, they had to talk to management, they had to do this, they had to do that. Anyway, they were able to go back to Bonnie. She didn't have to do this, but she went ahead and autographed and gave them another one for, you know, because they had already gone through the whole process before. Now charged them again. She could have been like tough, you know, whatever, but she did that for them. So I feel like that's a great story about her.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah. Because we know some of those celebrities can be a little bit like, ooh. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think the people that thought she was rude, I think they did not, they just were not ready for everything Bonnie can give.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And I think that's always the case. I noticed, I mean, not to get off topic, but Billy Zane was really quiet at the last Houston Horror Film Fest. And I was like, you know, seeing him on TV all these years and all the things he's done, I was not expecting that. I mean, he was very reserved.
Do you feel like he was happy to be there or no?
It's hard to say, you know? I mean, I didn't really get an impression one way or another. Like you said, he could have just sat in his room and ordered room service, but he ate in front of everyone. No one bothered him. He didn't have anyone with him. So yeah. I wonder if his quietness and his reservedness made him unapproachable. So, you know, even if you are loud like she is, it didn't really make her unapproachable, I didn't feel. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas, you know, I definitely didn't feel like I could go up to this dude. I thought for sure it would be like a feral kitten. If I try to go up to him, he'd run away.
I get that. But he was out there. Like bless you. If he didn't want to be bothered, he could have made himself scarce.
That's it right there.
Yeah. So what was your favorite scene in The Nun 2?
Oh my gosh. You know, there was the part where the little girl was in the stairwell and she saw her down that weird hall. I thought that was pretty good.
Okay. Sometimes you're cutting out, and hopefully it's just what I'm seeing and it's not with the recording. But you said when she was down the stairwell, what happened?
When she was in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And
it's going out again.
I'll bring this a little closer to my mouth. But anyway, no, the light shined on the nun and then she was just something on the wall.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see. I really liked when they pull that goat off that mural, off that window mural, and he is out there like chasing them. I love that. You know, there's something like a goat. There's nothing scary about a goat to me at all. A little goat, they're just cute and cuddly. But I'll tell you what, when you make it a demonic goat, or if it is a representation of the devil, and I'm using quotes here, y'all, if it is a representation of the devil, like Baphomet or something like that, there is something so eerie about that goat. And you brought up the Wild Collection. I remember being so mesmerized by that goat, that Baphomet statue. Yes. That was in there, that chair. Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I remember just sitting there and just being mesmerized for minutes. Like, I just stood still for a while and just observed.
Stared.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it has some sort of energy to it. You know what I mean? Like, there's something that was just so powerful about it. I don't know what to say, how to describe it, but it was like it felt like it was alive, even though it was not, you know? And so seeing that thing in the movie coming out and terrorizing them, I was like, yeah, oh, this is good. Yes.
Yeah, it was nice and creepy. That was definitely a part that was like, oh, there's a giant goat at the door. And then the door blew open and there's nothing there.
Yeah, they were not ready. I also liked how Maurice's been through. And so from the last one, at the end, you know, he was a hero and everything, but you also kind of feel bad for him because he was trying to be a hero for this woman and he ends up carrying it with him. And so I was happy to see him get okay. You know, I was happy to see what happened to him in the end, where he no longer was so possessed. And I don't mean possessed, like generally speaking, even though that's the real thing that happened here.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he was, I mean, if I was writing this book, it would be like, you know, 3 months later, the mother and daughter are dead and he's eating them. But, you know, it was good. They did that well.
Yeah. So, we don't have to talk long. I know most of our episodes are an hour plus. So I just figured we could do more of just concentrating on an actual review and just letting that fly, letting that ride. So if you want to talk about something else, we can. If not, we can close it here.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I would just say, you know, out of a 9 out of a 10, I'm sorry, a 1 out of 10, I would give this one at least a 9.5. And I only do that because, like you said, it could have been a little gorier, which is fine. You know, I would consider this as Disney horror, sort of, like a little bit harder than that, but very similar. It wasn't like The Evil Dead. The Evil Dead checked all the boxes for me. But this one was good. It was smart. And that's why it got so much high ranking for me. And then the the stuff that they, you know, because they like to weave the story together and show you this tapestry at the end of all these shows. And I feel like this one was a well done way that they did it. Whereas like some of the stuff in the Conjuring universe, I'm like, it is almost like a choreographed dance. It's too obvious. So I'm glad that they, the way they did it this time felt a little less forced. So I enjoyed it.
I absolutely agree with you on the rating. I went back to see what I rated the first one, and I gave it a 6. And this one, I gave a 9. My IMDb rating. So that was the difference to me between a 6 and a 9. And the only thing I would have added was like a sex scene with Maurice.
I mean, some making out or something. He was kind of cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's always the guy. Obviously, there's flirting going on with these nuns. Like, come on.
Well, he did. And then the lady with the kid, she wasn't a nun. So they could have easily got it on.
Yeah. Like, yeah. When is Maurice going to get some? And then the other thing I was thinking is, like, why else would he be going from convent to convent? Like, that? Because by now I would be like, well, bro, can you get a job outside of the convents? Why are you trying to stay around these nuns all the time? So
unless he's trying to be a priest, other than that, like, yeah, come on, dude.
Yeah, like if you're going to be going from convent to convent, or I'm sorry, abbey, if you're going to be going to the abbey, you know, and going to be around all these nuns all the time, then at least you could be getting your freak on something. And you're right. That lady was not the nun. She was a teacher.
Yeah. But you know, they're always, that's why I call it the Disney horror, right? Because they're always doing, you know, for you and I, because obviously this is a sex and horror podcast.
It is.
We utilize sex and our horror to add that level of vulnerability. Yeah. And that's why we pick that. And it also is such a human thing that we go through, desire and lust, that if you don't put that and make it real for people, to me, the horror is just not as, like, for men, maybe it is. Maybe they're fine with it. Maybe they don't need the sex. But for a female, we need to have that. Either it's pregnancy that she's like the silent world, and she had to have that baby. That freaked you out, you know, because that was something you could connect with.
The Quiet Place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we need the things that make up that part of our humanity, the sex or the children or the family dynamics, to really help us go, wow, like, this could happen. You know what I mean? And so that was the only thing. They did bring it out a little bit, talking about the son that died, and then you had a mother-daughter. Obviously, there was this flirting going on. It was there a little bit. But it was, to me, that's the Disney aspect.
Yeah, like why refrain from that? Especially since,
I mean, take a shirt off at least, let her lust a little bit. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yes, and especially, I mean, if he's possessed, like it seems like that would be all the more reason for him to like go for it. Like even if he is a reserved type fella, not now. Like he's got a little extra oomph, It seems like that possession would want to do more than just terrorize people. Like he really want to get his rocks off too, or at least and even terrorize them in that part, in that aspect. I don't know.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think that that's why it didn't get a 10 for me.
No, for real. That was the one thing I would have done different. I was like, see, y'all still keep squirting.
They keep not squirting.
Skirting around this man. You keep putting this fine man in these movies who's not getting any action around all these nuns. Like, why? What is the barrier here? Why are we still so
afraid? It's God, girl. It's God.
Girl, come on. Not in this movie. And you know
what? Those women are married to God.
There's a few times where I was thinking, even in the last one and this one, like, y'all are not making God look very powerful here. Because this demon is, they'll be holding up their rosary, they'll be holding up their crosses or whatever, and the demon just makes them burst into flames or whatever. And I was like, I think y'all might be on the wrong side.
Well, I mean, not until the very, very end, right? I mean, the thing, it ended up absorbing what she was trying to get.
Yeah.
It is our belief and our faith that makes the wine the blood of Christ.
Yeah, they
so did. So that was when they brought it back, right? That was the circle back to the depth of the faith. And to me, again, we got to be careful because we can talk about this for all day. That to me is also very horrific, right? Because a lot of people in faith and belief, you know, destroy in that name too.
Yeah.
So whether it's war or individual murdering, there's so many things that people do in the name of faith. So that is strong, and people feel that because they cling to that sort of faith to stay married, and they cling to that sort of faith to, you know, not walk out on their kids when they're being a pain in the ass, you know, and they cling to that faith whenever they get irritated by somebody in their life, but they like, I can't just fuck these people. I tell them to fuck off. I care about this person. I want to help them. So, you know, again, I mean, it's smart. Religious horror is smart to me.
Yes. And I will always be drawn to it, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
just to tell you, I don't know if you've been on Facebook this morning. Have you?
Mm-mm.
So after the movie, Mrs. J and I went to do a little ghost hunting.
Okay.
We went to Patterson Road, which is here in Katy, Texas. And it was quite interesting. Okay. So the legend of Patterson Road, just to give you some, it'll be like quick to tell you. it is the only site that they have found any kind of relics, and not the only one, but like, they have proven that there was Civil War soldiers in that area because they found things from soldiers. But what is strange is in that area, the evidence that they uncovered looked as if the Civil War soldiers turned on one another and killed each other.
Mm.
So there's no record. The country, you know, United States, I don't think ever had any information about it. I need to do a little bit more. Maybe those listening and watching can you know, send us an email, sexandhorrorpodcast@gmail.com, and send us some references on this. But from my understanding, there was no evidence besides the physical evidence that they found, no admittance from the government that there was a party of Civil War soldiers in Texas. So I don't know. Maybe I'm incorrect, but this is the information I got last night. So when you go on this bridge, it's like a 20-foot, 30-foot bridge. And it's just, it's not even that much water underneath. It's just like a little gully or something. And the legend is if you sit in your car on the bridge and turn your car off, you'll start hearing things tap on your car. Okay. Or move your car. You'll feel the car move and shake. So we did that, you know. By the way, this is not a dead road. And we, of course, came to realize after going up and down the thing at least a dozen times, there were a lot of people doing the same thing as we were. So at one point, we actually pulled to the side of the bridge and I took photos. And I'll talk about this in a second. But so we did try on the bridge several times to get something to move or hit the car. We never got it. But when we came back around, and we parked right in front of the bridge on the side, we did hear something tap the window.
Mm.
And we're like, oh. That was about the time I was like, I think we're good whenever you're ready. But what I did, my camera being a smartphone, iPhone, I put my camera on the dash, turned off the flash. And with her lights off, I took several photos. And so the camera has like a slow aperture, so it slowly closes to catch as much of the natural light as it can. And the first one looked like nighttime, okay, but, you know, slow capture of nighttime. And then after that, it started looking more and more like daytime. It was really strange. And the more it looked like daytime, the more, I swear to you, I think we caught plasma. Do you know what plasma is?
Mm-mm.
So it's supposed to be like a physical manifestation of spirit. So
So not plasma. The blood plasma?
No. No. So this is supposed to be like something. But with our eyes, we kept looking and saw nothing in front of us. And then she would turn the lights, the headlights on when cars passed and nobody would try to run us over. She was just nervous about that. And I would snap a picture. And I was still seeing it. Huh?
I said rightfully so here because people were running you over here.
Well, we were on the side of the road, but she was still nervous about it. So I was like, no worries. So I would still snap pictures with the lights on and you could still see it. So I was like, this is weird. With the lights off, you see it. With the lights on, you see it. And then we caught some various colored orbs in the plasma. And then I would take the picture like not even 30 seconds later, I would take another one and they were gone, but the plasma was changed and moved a little in the same spot on the dashboard. So it was quite interesting. I have the photos up online so you can check them out.
Okay.
But yeah, it was definitely fun. So next time I really want to go down to the Killing Fields and do some shots.
Okay. And you know, what's interesting to me is that the ghost hunting doesn't scare me at all. You know, like I remember even in our last one when we did the live show at the Houston Horror Film Festival, you were mentioning how I went into the jail cell by myself, and you know, that doesn't bother me at all. Like I'm not fazed by the whole idea of ghosts being around. Like I feel zero about that. Like it doesn't. Okay, so I mean, as long if they're in another dimension or they're dead or whatever, whatever. Yeah. But the demonic stuff, the possession, the idea that there's some spiritual entity that can take over another body, the possession, stuff like that, that really intrigues me. That really, I'm drawn to it, but also a little terrified too. And it's because, you know, the whole religious. You know, like how much of this can actually affect me. Like, I don't really believe the spirits, the ghost spirits, people who were once alive. I don't feel how they can bother me at all. But when we're talking about demonic spirits, and I know everybody doesn't believe in that. So, right. But the idea of it is where that's where the creep factor comes in for me.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, something like what we saw last night, I'm like, I don't know that this is a normal haunting space. I think it must have been Apache land because there is no way that much spirit had that much charge to manifest like that. I'm like, even if a dozen men died out here or 30 men died out here, like I've been to cemeteries. I've never seen that sort of manifestation. So.
Yeah, I see.
Anyway, that was fun.
Good. you know what? We have another event coming up that I suppose that we should use our platform to promote since we're going to be there. October 28th, the Houston Horror Film Festival is doing a pop-up market at the Wildcatters Saloon. Mm-hmm. Out in, where is that? Is that Katie?
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry.
Bless you.
That came out like, I don't know. I'm in a space that has a lot of dust. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's good. Okay. Is the space Katie? That's what I'm asking. It is Katie. Okay.
It is.
So look up the Wildcatters Saloon if y'all are interested in going there. We had such a wonderful time at the Houston Horror Film Festival in August that we were, you know, I'm trying to do whatever I can this year also just being out and about, and that seemed like another opportunity to get the printed version of my latest book out.
There you go. Now also guys
here, huh?
Also don't forget I believe you're doing the spooktacular at the Copperfield Books on the 21st of October, right?
No.
Oh, you're not. Okay, so I'll be at the spooktacular on the 21st.
Okay,
so that's the Saturday before.
Tell our listeners about it.
Oh, it's Copperfield Books up in the Spring area, Tomball Spring area. And they have every year a Halloween event with horror authors. There'll be a ton of authors out there by their shop. It's called Spooktacular. So I'll be there on the 21st peddling books, I'm sure.
Okay.
And I should have a new one out. I'm going to try to put something out October the 13th because it falls on a Friday. And I've got, it's going to be a collection of both nonfiction ghost stories, as well as fiction, as well as extreme horror. So it'll be a lot of fun. 13 stories for our Friday the 13th.
Nice. There is a story that I did for Unsaintly. This is Lisa Vasquez's publication. Yes. Is it Unsaintly or is it Stitched Smile?
It's Stitched Smile Publications.
Okay, Stitched Smile Publication. I submitted a story for that. She said it should be out sometime in October, that anthology. So we'll see. I don't have an official date, but we'll let you all know when it's out. And I did that story about Lilith.
Yes.
And this divine feminine rising mindset for about a year and a half now. And so I kind of put some of that energy into that story. So, yeah.
Nice.
Just the first story I've done in a minute. Brand new.
I mean. I know. Well, and I've read some of it, guys. You're going to want to see it. Read it. It's really good.
Thank you. Anything else we need to promote or let people know about? Any other events coming up? Hey, are we going to do a tattoo the 13th, Friday the 13th?
Well, I don't know. I'm actually in the middle of trying to help plan a market for Friday the 13th. I didn't want to mention it because it's not solidified at all. Okay. But it may be happening, and I will have to let everybody know. But it may not. It's also like just a few weeks, you know, sort of like, you know, 8 weeks away. So, you know, everybody's different about when they want to plan stuff. I will definitely have something out, and it'll be even if it's just available on Amazon for people to purchase, it'll be out for the 13th. But I would like to, you know, me and my tattoos this year, I've been going crazy.
The one that I plan to get next was the Blocks. So I was at the Blocks. I was in Kansas City with part of my Blocks family last weekend for Labor Day weekend. I haven't posted anything about it publicly. I did post on my Patreon about it, just a few pictures and stuff. But it was a great weekend. There were a few things that I knew from being there in February when we were filming that kind of was like a little too much for me. And so I took those, it was about three different areas, and I did it completely different this time, and it made a world of difference. So I made sure that even though I wanted to still make that money, I could still do some Zoom hearings while I was there, I did not do any legal work while I was there. I just focused on Spicy Dice Productions and the whole world of the Blocks. That's it, just creative stuff. That helped tremendously. I also made sure that, well, I didn't have anything to do with this, but it made a big difference in the fact that instead of like 75 of us, there were 16 of us. So it was a much smaller group. I realized that I was overwhelmed by the large group that we had in February. And this time it being 16 was just perfect. 16 of us could fit in a van. We had three meals from a private chef that was done every day. I actually gained some weight because I normally only eat like one meal a day and I was eating three, but it was fantastic. That told me that I am definitely about that life. I like the private chef life. I like the being shuttled and not having to drive life. You know, I just like amenities. I like luxuries. That's me. That's what I want, especially for this part of life.
I'm going to say, I think most humans would be cool with that.
Yeah, right? And then what was the third thing? There was a third. Oh, the competition aspect was not present this time. So we had the competition in February. For Labor Day weekend, we were just focusing on one-on-one coaching for our businesses. And so I talked to you about some of the things that was mentioned to me on how we could do for the podcast. So which brings me to, if you're a listener of our podcast, please let us know how we're doing. Can we get some feedback, please? Let us know what you want to see more of. Do you like it when it's just the two of us, just Dicey and Chantel? Do you like it more when there's guests? Do you like the guests that you don't know and you want them to get more exposure so you can learn about people that you don't know about, their creative endeavors? And do you want more celeb people where you can get more of an insight into people that you're already a fan of? Do you enjoy more sexy topics or more horror topics? you know, just give us an idea of what you want to see more of. Do you like the visuals? Because we've gone to doing it visually, not just audio anymore. Are you listening to our show or are you watching the show? Which one do you enjoy more? What are some other questions people can let us know, Chantel?
I mean, I think you covered pretty much everything that we need to know. Yeah, I mean, we also have different formats throughout the years we've been doing this. If there's any particular way that you enjoyed listening to us more about, like listening to our movie reviews, listening to us just yap about bullshit, listening to, like, when we used to do topics of, you know, like we did with the guy from Texas AuthorCon, strange weird sex shit that happens to people, real, you know, real stories. If there's anything specific that you enjoyed, or did you just enjoy the smattering of it all? Again, sexandhorrorpodcast@gmail.com, and just let us know, and we would love to hear from you guys.
Yes, please. Please. And let us know what your favorite episode is and your least favorite episode. There are some that I enjoy listening to more than others. But it's okay. Like I said before, everything doesn't have to be a grand hit home run. But we want to give you more of what you want to listen to. We enjoy ourselves either way. But we're in our fifth season. And, you know, do we continue on doing this? Do we change up some things, or do we just go back to focusing on our books? So,
yeah, we want to know, are we doing this just for us at this point? Which I don't really know if we ever weren't doing it just for us, to be honest. But no, we totally, I mean, we love interacting with guys, with you guys. We did, there was a series, and it's happening this month too. I think they're doing it every month until October of Mr. Lewis. I can't remember his last name. He had us out to do a live show the whole night.
Yeah.
And we met so many great people that listened to our show. We didn't even know you guys were, we thought it was all Julio. I mean, you know. So we want to hear from everyone. Everyone. We made a wonderful young lady at Frightmare. And of course, you know, I'm old and I cannot recall her name. So she's listening, you know, email us, let us know who you, because she had some really great, you know, ideas for shows. And she herself could come on and be like a little guest real quick with us and tell us some info about what she's learned in this topic we were discussing with her. So, I mean, it's always great. You never know. Or you could have a show idea. You're like, I really want to know this. Why haven't these bitches talked about this yet? You know? You know, we talk about, like, when Dicey scarred me for life, taking me down rabbit holes on Pornhub.com. I mean, so many things that we could discuss on our show.
And we haven't done a whole lot of that lately either. Like, we used to go into sex stuff a whole lot more, and I think it's been toned down a little bit, particularly because we've got more into the horror events. And yes. I'll tell you that I know there's a big difference when there's a sexual topic and when there's a horror topic. The views and they shoot up anytime there's a sexual topic. So just FYI on that.
I mean, the coincidence of things shooting up. You guys got to watch Dicey do that. Y'all going to laugh.
Saturday morning, I got a nail appointment in an hour, and then I got a birthday party later on this afternoon. So, Chantel, have a wonderful rest of your day. And everyone listening, thank you for listening and watching. If you would, so kindly, please also share our videos. Hopefully you enjoy The Nun as much as we did. Let us know what your thoughts are on it and on our thoughts on it. Like, let us know what you think about what we think about it. But then also let us know what you think about it. That makes sense?
Yes, it does.
All right. Thank you, guys.